All right, here we are on YouTube, I think. This is Emmanuel. Kyle's over on the other side of the intro studio here. We've got Rob Gila and Alex. Guys, if you can confirm if we're on YouTube, because YouTube is telling us we're not on YouTube, but I think YouTube doesn't know what the hell they're talking about.
We have not yet appeared on YouTube.
Okay, but usually we don't for a few more seconds, right?
Usually it takes a few more seconds, but yeah. I'll keep an eye up. I'll let you know when we...
But this is nice. We could just do a show for ourselves, you know, just a bunch of
just
us.
Have a conversation amongst ourselves. That's always fun.
Do enjoy that. No, we have not gone live yet.
Okay, I'm seeing an error occurred. Please try again later. YouTube is not receiving enough video to maintain smooth streaming.
How about I relaunch?
The fuck? I'm sorry, but we don't use video. So need is audio. That's so little bandwidth. What's the problem here? What are you relaunching? Let people know.
The broadcast software that we use for the stream.
Okay, this is stuff I don't touch. I touch the YouTube interface.
Rob, do you think it could be an ID10 to your...
By the way, Alex, your connectivity is shit as well. I don't know where you are.
Oh, it's terrible.
That could be us not receiving him very well.
Yeah, but it's only him. It's not Rob and Gila.
On our signal connection, we're noticing Alex is choppy as well.
Yeah,
Alex? Total shit.
Are you in a dry Tortuga or something? Where are you?
I'm in New York. It's the Spectrum connection.
Why is it whenever you go to New York, that's when your internet is the worst?
I'm telling you, it's the worst. It is the worst.
Could be in Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, and you'll have better connectivity. And I'm not even joking. It's true.
On mute, I was yelling to the kids and my wife, to go to a different network or use their phones because the signal is degrading so badly here. I was like, "Are you?"
We're gonna keep this as part of the. We're not on anything, so we're just talking amongst ourselves. So this is a rare look at the inside of Off the Hook Overtime. Not Off the Hook. Off the Hook isn't like this. We're far more professional, but here this is unshielded, unmuzzled. Yes,
so, Alex, you're having a moment that's back like the old dial-up days where, like, Mom, I'm on the line.
That's basically
and then your BBS download craps out.
I literally was yelling, if anybody's downloading something, stop.
So I'm getting a message from YouTube saying, connect your encoder to start preview. Learn how to use encoders. Fuck you, YouTube. Don't talk to me like that. I know how to use encoders. Been using encoders since before you were YouTube. Assholes. All right, so Kyle's launching the other program now. I see the picture that's usually there, and there's no button for me to hit. That's the thing. All I can do is end the stream.
No, hold on a second.
Yeah, and there if I end the stream, then I'm definitely not starting the stream.
I don't know if this is going to be better. This might be worse.
Well, how can it be worse of us not being connected?
I'm doing the best I can. All right, so I've done everything.
Oh, the thing, look, it says excellent now. It said poor before, now it says excellent. Okay,
that sounds
good. So we might, Rob, we might show up any moment now. It's possible.
All right.
So
our chat is asking, it's 8:03, where's the show?
Yeah, keep your pants on. We're working on it. Okay, I got the error again. It still says excellent, though. An error occurred. Please try again later. It doesn't tell you what the error is.
Wait, here we are.
And there's a play button for some reason. What happens if I play?
I just got a...
All I can do is end the stream.
That's me.
There we are. All right.
I don't know why you're playing me to me. That's not helpful.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
All right. I don't know what the hell's going on. So this might be a bandwidth issue. We had some issues with the other station yesterday, but other people were having issues with the other station, so we didn't think it was us.
Let's just get it. I mean, it's Iran.
Iran is cyber attacking us.
It's understandable. They should be mad.
Well, you know, it's legal. It's legal for them to do cyber war on us because we're at war. So
it is a domain.
Yeah, yeah. So if your microwave gets attacked, that's the cost of war. In this case, cyber war.
This says encoding overloaded. You know, I think that's a compliment.
I've got a big yellow error on the screen here. So, if someone can tell us if we're actually...
We're seeing the YouTube feed keeps freezing up and buffering. And our chat folks are seeing that as well.
Yeah, something's super fucked here. Okay, I'm going to suggest, Kyle, that we just reboot the modem. You know, because that's like where connectivity issues could happen. you know, and because we relaunched this program here,
mm-hmm.
We connected to YouTube, and it's
well, I can augment the video quality and maybe work with what we've got. So we have.
I don't know why we even
audience.
Why is video an issue? We don't
yeah,
use
that,
video.
That's what I'm wondering. Maybe that would help, and at least. In
but a 300 baud connection would be enough.
Give me a second.
All right.
All right. I trust in Kyle's wisdom around this. We are still seeing buffering. People are having all kinds of fun with us in the comments.
this is a problem that is affecting lots of people because on the other station, we were told there were problems before we had problems. So that means the problems weren't with us. There were problems with many other people before that. And now we're having problems here. I don't know. I'm not sure if there's just connectivity issues throughout the area. But it seems like it's something that's a lot bigger than just one connection. And, of course, Alex, your connection just sucks. And I don't think that's ever going to change.
No, it's going to change soon because I've had it with the Spectrum bullshit. It's unbelievable how much I pay for this connection. And it is terrible. It's absolutely terrible. I can't believe the speeds that I get on this thing. And I don't think it's antiquated hardware. I think I just got to get rid of Spectrum.
I think maybe you should have a wired connection, not Wi-Fi. I think that might be a good step forward.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, maybe, but I'd have to use a port to do that.
Yeah, you'd have to make a sacrifice.
Yeah,
for
and it's okay. You go. I move around this place and things, and Ethernet cables across the living room.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. If I could employ you not to pace around the room while you're on the air, that would also be very nice.
I literally got up for 5 seconds because I had coffee on the stove in a mocha pot and then said to myself, oh, shit, my wife is on a separate conference call. I can't yell to the kids and have them do that because the thing is extremely hot. So I had to go run and turn it off.
Your wife was probably using more bandwidth than we use because it was probably video and we don't use video.
Yeah. I think that's what was happening. I had to switch over to 5G on my phone. It got so bad. But speaking of which, though, what I found actually works really well in lieu of a broadband connection and through your cable company are these T-Mobile hotspots for home internet. And they're pretty extraordinarily fast and reliable. And it's just this kind of mobile hotspot that presumably uses just like 5G. It's like almost like having a dedicated connection. But it just seems like such a better alternative. It's cheaper, faster, more reliable than Spectrum at this point. I can't take it anymore.
All right, Kyle, what's the latest? Because I still think rebooting the modem is a good idea.
I don't know. I just tried to lower a little bit of the video and change the amount the stream is.
If it helps, what I'm hearing is from people that are listening that we're going on and off a little bit.
Right. So I think that's something with the connectivity. If we reboot the modem, at least we've done that much.
Right.
Is there a reason not to? Okay, no one's
downloading like
saying
six albums on Kazaa. Right,
I don't want to debate it. I mean, if you want me to, I will.
That way we
I
know.
I was working on this
software
side.
What happened software side?
Because we do have a connectivity. Obviously, we're talking to people.
Right.
So
we'll lose connectivity, I know, for a moment while we reboot.
Well,
but
can someone check? I mean, is it working now? No one's really told me anything.
No, Kyle's totally right about that. If it was the connection itself, we'd have problems talking right now.
I know that, but we keep going in and out, so the connection, there's something wrong. Yeah, did what Kyle
help?
Did, has that helped? Do you have...
The van came up, we just buffered again.
But we seem to be kind of smooth now.
It says poor for me, and I have a big yellow error again, but I don't know if that's just stuck on my screen.
Oh, there we go. We're buffered again.
See, so it's not helping. So, my view when you troubleshoot things like this is you start at the top and, try and, you start at the other end. We've done that already. So I think just, unplugging it, plugging it back in, getting it reset, and maybe, we'll get better bandwidth. And if we don't, then we know that there's a problem somewhere else.
Right, but you also, realize
it seems like the snippets of audio we are getting coming through are from quite a long time ago now, many minutes.
That's also true.
So
okay, well,
things are piling up in each interesting way.
Let people know that there'll be a full transcript available that did not make it over YouTube. If you can get to them somehow, I guess through the chat or whatnot.
Yeah.
All right. So let people know also we're about to do a reboot of the modem, and that will make them lose connectivity, but to come back, and hopefully we'll be able to do this soon. Otherwise, an early night for us.
No.
Do we know where the modem is? I don't know where the modem is. They moved it a few years ago. Yeah, it's in different places, and we use different modems sometimes. Yeah,
could be a DDoS attack. You could be being DDoSed right now. Maybe that's but
that happened to Blue Sky. Blue Sky got DDoSed off the face of the earth. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. Actually.
Yeah, it happened. Alex, yeah, you seem to be on a satellite delay somehow, and I don't know how that's possible. Can I do my little experiment where I count down and you say the number at the same time as me? All right.
So basically,
the way it works is I go 3, 2, 1, and we both say 1 at the same time. You want to try that?
Oh, okay.
Okay, so here we go. Yeah. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Are you fucking with me?
1.
That did not take that long. Okay, you realize how unhelpful you are. Do you understand how that does not serve anybody? You don't look clever. Me. You look like a clod. And I don't get any answers whatsoever. Nobody's listening to us, so you're not even entertaining anyone. I do not understand your motivation here. You want to try
it
one more time?
Because
this is the last time I'm going to try it.
Okay.
I'm trying to help you here. All right.
Let's go for it.
3, 2, 1.
1.
That's too much of a delay, I think. It shouldn't be that much. It's less than I thought, but there is a delay.
Interesting. Yeah. How long is the delay?
You'll have to listen to the transcript, won't you?
I guess I will.
It's less than a second, but still, it's enough to be annoying.
Yeah, yeah. That's weird. I mean, I got to get a new internet connection. This is just bullshit.
All right. So what are we doing? Are we going to reboot the modem? I don't see any other alternative, Kyle. I really don't. This isn't working.
Well, I mean, it's stabilized. It's better than it was, not what it is normally.
Right, okay, shall we try one more time? And if this doesn't work, unplug the damn modem and plug it back in and see if that works. So, is Gila really stuck in that expression?
What?
Okay, I'm sorry, you weren't moving. I thought you were frozen.
I was just sitting very still.
We have video amongst ourselves, but that's it.
I think you should take Rebel's call now.
What I see, the phone's not even working yet. What I see is error. YouTube is not receiving enough video to maintain enough streaming. As such, viewers will experience... It cuts off at that point. I don't know how to see the rest of that message.
Do you want to just stop all that and start over?
Well, like, it's not working, is it? Is it working out
there? The delays keep piling up.
Are we buffering or not?
Now we are. Literally.
Okay. So it's not working. It has not worked once. So I say let's start with the modem and figure it out from there.
Yeah,
folks, if you hear me,
the snippets of audio we're hearing are Gila just mentioned that the van came up, and that was, what, like 5 minutes ago?
Oh, wow. That was a while ago.
Yeah. So
yeah, the
packet's very different. All right, we've got...
Oh, there they are.
Hey, we're back.
We've got the folks back on signal.
All right, we're rebooting the machine that handles the connection as well. So...
Cool.
Yeah. So we're not going out right now, but we will be, hopefully, as soon as this restarts.
He asked me. He asked me.
Please share whatever is funny, because...
Rebel's like, why are there only 8 people? We usually have 30 or 40. And everyone's like, because there's nothing to listen to right now.
Unbelievable. That's how closely he listens.
I am literally on the verge of banning him from the chat for being a fucking idiot.
You know that's going to be stored in the archive.
I'm fine with that.
All right, just as long as you know that. Everything we say is on the permanent record. No cover-ups here, folks. We just display it all, the ugliness as well as the... Oh, what do you got there, Kyle? Kyle's got a snack.
Pickleballs.
Oh, my God. You've gotten these pickleballs.
Those are disgusting.
Vlasic pickleballs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had those like a year ago.
Yeah, they're pretty gross. I won't buy them again.
They're incredible.
They're
okay, well, you can have the 3 that are left.
Oh, God.
All right, so I see the chat again over here.
Mm-hmm.
It says connect your encoder to start preview and then learn how to use encoders again. Oh, God damn it. and this machine has just come up.
All right.
So it's possible it was that machine as well. But either way, we've rebooted the modem, and now we've rebooted the machine. Now we're going to come up in YouTube and hopefully find a thriving community waiting for us.
Okay, well, we have corn pudding, so.
We have corn pudding.
So if nothing else, we have that going for us.
Which is nice.
This is excellent corn pudding. You did wonderfully.
Thank you.
Alex is doing another show for another station right now. Look at that.
Yeah, might as well be, right? I mean, what's going on here today?
All right.
Well, so what happened when we lost you guys for a few minutes? You rebooted the router?
We just spoke the truth. That's all. We just said what was really on our minds.
And then it just went out.
Okay, so we're reconnecting now. We have to log in and all that stuff.
Stream is still buffering.
What's going on? Kyle's made a noise I never heard before. Befuddlement. are we locked out of our own system? What's going on? I see the sign. Something will be removed, except it seems like it might have actually happened.
Why do you got to log into OBS now?
Got to log into OBS? Well, okay, OBS is what we use. And wait, we didn't log in before? So now we have to log in. All right. Yeah.
Well, maybe it'll help if you say your password aloud as you type it in.
I think the point is we didn't have a password. We didn't have an account.
Is it asking you for your YouTube credentials to hook up to that? Or?
It's not an account.
Wow.
I haven't used OBS in a couple of years.
I'm glad this didn't happen last week when we had Jason Scott with us. Because, boy, that would have been a lot of wasted time.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He never would have spoken to us again after that.
Oh, I think he would have. Yeah.
You guys, I don't mind wasting time with. It's fine.
Yeah, that's fine, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Eve. Appreciate that.
We're all family here. Someone in the chat mentions, I used a computer once. It was awesome.
So when we were on and off the air during this show, that must have been the same issue. I thought it had something to do with Reggie being absent.
Well, that's a theory, but no, I don't think I think it has something to do with this. It seems similar.
Yeah.
The weird thing is that it affected other broadcasters on the other station who were not here. So that just tells me it's a bigger problem that's affecting.
Yeah.
Maybe it's affecting an entire carrier. You know, like Optimum is big on Long Island. Maybe it's affecting them. Maybe it's affecting Verizon. I don't know.
It could also just be there's things wrong, different things wrong on multiple ends of the equation
here. Yeah, and it's all happening at once. Yep. This is what we have to prepare for, folks who aren't here.
I think I figured it out.
Oh, wait.
Wow.
What happened, Kyle?
Well, I'm just saying, first of all, like, there's some update with OBS, and I've been ignoring it, so whatever.
This is what happens when you ignore updates.
Me.
They take you down.
Well, I mean, I was going to get to it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, is that 10,000?
Well, you got our attention, OBS.
10,000, okay. I'm just
10,000 kbps?
Putting our video back to what it was.
All right.
I had it at 960 by 540. Okay, so
I want it back,
back
the way it was, Kyle.
1280, okay. Yes, people. All right, so I think our bandwidth is back to what it was.
Okay.
And you're all rooting
10, for you. 10,000. Okay, so.
And my video just popped up here.
Yeah,
picture of the van.
Should be excellent. The van should disappear, and then it should come back, and then the van should disappear, and then it should come back. But, okay, so OBS
okay.
has a side pane.
It looks
that
like
says,
I'm playing back, which is
YouTube
weird.
YouTube live.
The, oh.
All right, yeah. I think we're on. I think it
what
looks good.
What is that? Like, OBS just has, like, a YouTube sign-in now.
Well, we
how
can look into that later.
We can
get into that later, but are we on now?
Yes,
we are on now. We are on now. We sound good.
And are we on recently, or is it last week's show?
Yes.
What does
Everything
that mean?
Everything that's happened now is happening now.
Okay.
I need a break.
Yeah, we all need a break. All right, folks, so we'll see you next week.
This has been a good show, our best show.
Oh, yeah.
Can you get that piece of paper? Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, that was something, and Kyle seems to have figured it out. And maybe that'll solve our problem with the other station, too, even though it affects other people.
Well, this is fantastic.
So, again, folks, we've been dealing with crap over the last 25 minutes. But everything that you missed will be on the archive. Not here on YouTube. It'll be on 2600.com/offthehook. And you can hear the overtime segment of that, which will include a lot of things that only made it to us. So you'll hear us talking very candidly about some of you and basically going back and forth.
And eating some snacks.
We had some snacks.
Yeah.
We had some mystery visitors that came in and all sorts of intrigue.
Yes, I'm sorry. You out there in video land, you missed all the special guests we had who had so many interesting things to say, but, you know, next time.
Well, I don't want to do anything until I'm sure that everything is normal. Do we have
I feel normal.
Okay.
I mean, mostly normal.
It's our version of normal.
It's our version of normal. The lag is back to a normal amount. We've gone back up to 49 listeners, which is fantastic.
I'm holding out for 50. If we get over 50,
many,
then, you know.
Several many shout-outs to Kyle from various folks in the chat.
I'm still curious. I don't know what happened, but OBS has, like, a Google sign-in now. I don't know what's up with that.
Well, we'll figure that out. But the bandwidth, you said
I can't
was,
get over it.
You
but
said
yeah,
the bandwidth
back.
Was half of what it was before. Is it now normal?
It's back to where we were set before.
Okay, good.
It seems to be able to do what we had always done.
Just, you know, if you out there have ever been downloading a whole bunch of MP3s from Kazaa and then mom picks up the phone in the other room and ruins everything, that's where we were.
You're welcome, though.
Is Kazaa still a thing? Is Kazaa still around?
I don't believe so.
I don't know these things.
You're
Wasn't
welcome, though.
Wasn't that a movie with Shaquille O'Neal?
I don't know. I think it's taken on different forms. And also there's... yeah, distributed file sharing and other things.
Are we over 50 yet?
Yeah, we're at 50 right now.
All right.
Okay, well, people are welcome.
Now we're at 54.
Okay, fine. I can
Please,
go on.
No, I get glassy-eyed and very dumbfounded in those moments.
It's,
but
in my contract, I don't perform under 50.
I get very frustrated when people tell me to, like, turn everything off and on again, but sometimes it's warranted, I guess.
Did you guys hear about this, the smoking thing in the UK?
What?
I didn't want to bring it up on Off the Hook because it's not really hacker-related per se, but they're banning smoking for people under a certain age. But here's the thing. This is what's weird. I'm reading this from Al Jazeera. United Kingdom has passed a landmark law which will make it illegal for anyone born after 2008 to ever buy tobacco products. Yeah, I'm not a smoker, never have been, but I think this is really stupid. On Tuesday, the House of Lords, the UK Parliament's upper house, approved the Tobacco and Vapes Bill, which has already passed through the House of Commons. Health advocacy groups have hailed the new law as the first time an entire generation of young people will never be allowed to buy cigarettes or vapes. So basically what they're doing is they're banning it for people at a certain age, and every year that age is going to go up by one. So people will never be allowed to buy. I mean, just ban the things already. If that's the goal, what the hell? This is nuts. This is insane.
That's going to work.
They're going to be proofing people at 65 in a few decades. It's like, no, if you're 66, you can buy cigarettes, but you're 65, say, no, I'm sorry, you can't. No, man, that's stupid. That's dumb. That's I am not a smoker, but for God's sake, if somebody really wants to buy a damn cigarette, either stop making them or let them buy it.
They should have a test that's something more like, if you know what MySpace is, then you can smoke.
What does MySpace have to do with it?
Yeah, because that means you're old enough for to be a certain age, right? Instead of just banning after that.
Did you hear about this, Kyle?
I did. I've heard versions of this.
So, if you're 17 now in the UK, you can't buy cigarettes. So when you turn 18 next year, 18-year-olds won't be allowed to buy cigarettes. 19-year-olds the year after that, forever. There's got to be a better way to deal with this than pissing off those particular people, because they're going to give them some kind of inferiority complex that they never are going to be allowed to do what other people were allowed to do. And I'm not saying, I'm not backing cigarette smoking in any way. I think it's a vile thing. But again, people have the right to do what other people have done, unless you're going to ban it for everybody. Yeah, well,
this is going to have such an opposite effect, because forbidding cigarettes, forbidding tobacco from these people is just going to have the effect of making tobacco cool and interesting and forbidden and something you're getting away with again, like has happened with, I think, weed in this country, where, the more legal it gets, the more boring I think the kids these days are finding it.
Well, it's an issue of equal protection under the law, like what we were talking about on the show as well. If you're going to have two adults that go in and ask for tobacco at a shop somewhere, and one of them's going to be able to buy it and the other one's not going to be able to buy it, and the only differentiating characteristic is the date on which they were born. If there are two adults in the same country living under the same set of laws and rules, they should have the same rights and obligations. So I think this will be struck down as being an unequal application of the law.
Struck down by who? Who's going to strike it down?
Well, there's an unwritten constitution in the United Kingdom, and I would imagine that a judge would be able decide that this is a law that shouldn't be applied.
Well, an opinion poll carried out by YouGov back in 2024... for Action on Smoking and Health, which is called ASH, by the way. It's a public health charity. They suggested that 78% of the people supported the idea of creating a smoke-free generation in the UK, while 52% of smokers supported raising the age of sale by 1 year every year. Smokers support this. A statement from ASH at the time of the poll said the policy has broad cross-party support. 70% of those who voted Conservative support it. 74% have voted Labor support it. 75% have voted Liberal Democrat support it. Okay, people don't like smoking, so ban smoking. Do that. But this, it's just, why? Why do it this way? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's weird to me that you're going to have, like, versions of humans then, right? Like, you'll have the pre-2008 version of humans who have a certain set of rights, and then the post 2008 version of humans that have a separate set of rights and obligations. That's strange.
It's more like you're writing off people who were born before 2008. It's like, okay, you've already had cigarettes. Right. We're not even going to try to save you. But everybody you don't get to smoke at all.
This also operates under the assumption that people are not mobile. I mean, they can go to other jurisdictions and participate in this activity and be exposed to it. I mean, we shouldn't take it so seriously. I do think it is it's a bit silly, but it's not going to contain people in some way. I mean, they're going to go on trips. They'll go elsewhere. They'll have lives, I think.
I'm not kidding myself. I know people will get around it. I don't think there's really going to be much of an effort to keep people from getting cigarettes, but this is just adding something. And I'm sure it can be used against somebody if you really want to prosecute them for something. So it'll be abused, too. I'm certain of that. I just really... This is about the most immature way of dealing with a problem I can think of.
I mean, didn't... I guess I'm curious what the tobacco equivalent of bootlegging is going to be called. Because, you know, did we not learn? I mean, obviously, Prohibition worked so well. people are... So, apparently, you can smoke, just not buy. And... someone says, BRB, becoming the most boring criminal ever by smoking while on social media.
All right, well, that's where we are. That's the state of the world. So,
if you're going to smoke something, make sure it's worth it.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I see this being used on other things as well. You know, let your imagination roam on that. It's just, if we're going to have a particular age of maturity... that you're allowed to do certain things. You can't just change that as you wish so that you phase something out. I mean, even though they're doing exactly that, it just doesn't seem like the right way, the fair way.
Well, look, on the other hand, some things just don't work well on older firmware. There's a point at which you got to get phased out.
I think there is some borrowing of that particular philosophy. Where, you know, end of life, you know, and they basically just won't support it anymore.
So, are you projecting now, Emmanuel, and this is really all about the Google Nest? is that what this is really about?
I've had it up to here with you know, these things being sunsetted or whatever, you know, where you no longer are able to get what other people are able to get because you didn't upgrade your software, and you can't upgrade your software because you have to upgrade your hardware in order to upgrade the software, which means you have to buy a whole goddamn computer because you want to run Chrome or something. It's ridiculous what they, you know. And we run into this all the damn time. Okay, I had two instances the last couple of days that really annoyed the hell out of me. I was trying to order food, you know, using this thing called Q Menu. You ever use Q Menu? I don't know. You don't ask to use Q Menu. You just wind up in Q Menu. I was trying to order something, right? And went through the whole thing, you know, got everything listed. And then it comes time to check out, right? And so you check out, and you have to get a code sent to your phone. So, okay, fine. Got a code sent to my phone. Here's the code. All right, now enter all your payment info. Enter the payment info. You need the billing zip code. Enter the billing zip code. You enter the CVV, the little three-digit code on the back of your card. Okay, and now you have to enter the code that they just emailed you. So now there's two codes. You got to email, give them back that code. Keep in mind the place is closing in like 20 minutes. And then they add this. They want the billing address. I've already given them the five-digit zip code of the billing address, but they want the full billing address. So I give them the billing address, and I get an error saying that's an invalid address. I'm like, an invalid address? That's the address the credit card is registered to. So there's a phone number to call, and I actually called this phone number. Somebody picked up. I don't know where they are, and I explained the situation to them. And they asked for the address. I gave them the address. And I said, oh, yeah, we don't accept P.O. boxes. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You don't accept? You asked me for the billing address. The billing address is a P.O. box. And you don't accept P.O. boxes? How am I supposed to do this then? They said, well, you can always call the place. I'm like, why am I wasting time with you if I just would call the place, I'm doing this online because, first of all, there's a profound language barrier with the place I was ordering from, and that would not go well. There'd be a lot of confusion, and it would take a lot of time. And this is a service that you're supposedly providing. And you come up with this half-assed policy of not taking P.O. boxes as billing addresses when they are the billing address. They said it was a security issue. What possible security issue is that where you don't accept the answer to your question when the answer is correct? So I had to go through a whole different service. Actually, I had to go through three services total, do the whole order all over again and just make it barely before they closed. But I found another one that didn't have this ridiculous restriction. But you know, somebody somewhere decides, yeah, this is going to be our policy from now on, you know, and they're going to convince themselves it's got something to do with security. And what you wind up doing is inconveniencing who knows how many people and also taking money from the establishments these people are trying to frequent. I'm just getting increasingly annoyed by these so-called policies that don't do anything, you know, except cause inconvenience.
Just to be totally clear, as brought up by someone in the chat, you weren't trying to get the pizza itself delivered to the P.O. box.
I was picking it up, first of all. I was picking it up, and it was a bit more involved than the pizza. So, yeah, you know, I don't even know. I didn't try putting in, like, any address. Maybe that would have worked, which says a lot about their security. But they just would not accept it. I can understand if I was trying to get something delivered, you don't want it delivered to a P.O. box. I get that. And I think that's what it was. It was bad programming where we don't accept P.O. boxes for anything. It's easier that way. It's not easier that way, not if you use it as a billing address. Yeah.
The food was really good, though. It was worth it.
Oh, my God, it was worth it.
I think there might be some left.
But we couldn't even explain to the people there what was happening with their service. It was, you know, like I said, profound language barrier, but so worth it. The other thing, okay, I had another issue with an insurance company. I have two insurance policies with the same insurance company. Do you know that's illegal to have two insurance policies with the same insurance company?
Huh. No.
What?
Yeah, thank you, Gil. You're the only one that had a good reaction to that. You guys were accepting it. Really? Yeah, it's illegal. It's illegal to have two policies. No, it's not illegal. Of course not. The problem is their software couldn't handle one email address handling two insurance policies. So what I had to do, I had to use one of my throwaway Gmail accounts and then use it again but put a dot in the middle of it. And that counted as two different email addresses. So I was able to have one insurance policy on one email address, the other one on another email address. And that worked for the last few years until they had a security change and said, everyone's got to change their password. The password they make you change to is something like 15 characters long, has to have special digits, you know, at signs and dollar signs and all that. You know, I log into this thing maybe once every couple of years just to make sure everything is paid up. It's not Fort Knox. I don't care that much. But when I had to enter the new password, I had to enter all my credentials again. And I entered email address, second email address, phone number, and then I got an error on the second account saying that this phone number is already in use. So now they've changed their policy so that you can't have the same phone number on more than one account. It's like they're just trying to make things more and more difficult. So it makes absolutely no sense to me why I wouldn't be able to have the same phone number on both accounts. But this resulted in a back and forth with somebody in customer support who said, oh, why don't you just use the same email address for both accounts? Like, because that was the problem in the first place that made me do this. But apparently they fixed that now. So I can go back and import my insurance policy into one of the email addresses. I just realized that insurance policy is affiliated with two email addresses now. But that's the way you have to do it, because somebody made a decision, and it has to do with security.
Well,
anyone else have stories that they want to share?
Well, you mentioned phone numbers, which leads to something that we could start doing if things are up and running and able to be connected up together in a suitable manner.
Yeah, the phone's on. The phone line is connected. I'm sorry.
We're taking some calls.
Yes, let's do that. Who wants to give out the phone number? Better hurry.
Would you like to?
I'll do it. Okay, so our phone number is 802-321-HACK. That's 802-321-4225.
And while we are waiting, I will still tell people, even though we're not on the air right now, we love WBAI and we hope you do too. And go to give2wbai.org or buddy.wbai.org and throw in on keeping it going.
And just so there's no misunderstanding, when Rob says we're not on the air, we're on this thing, YouTube, whatever. It's just technically not on the airwaves, but we're on. Yeah. We're on the internet. Everything is working now.
We're not on WBAI right now.
I hope not, because if we are, we have violated FCC policy so many times.
So many times.
I think I said the fuck word.
I certainly did.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Kyle, you're the only one who hasn't cursed so far. No, that's good. That's good. That's a good thing. We have a phone call?
No.
We don't? I heard the phone ring.
Yeah, and then, like, it rang again. I couldn't tell if it was connected or not.
I hear it from way in the distance. Did the ringer get turned off?
In the distance?
Yeah, it's like a whole, like, hallway away. It rang in here before. Now it's ringing somewhere else. We have a very complicated system. Kyle's pressing buttons, looking frustrated.
Huh.
So is the phone broken now? I haven't brought it up, because you have to tell me if there's something here.
Man, tonight we're really batting 1,000, huh?
Yeah, we are. I'm going to talk to maybe nobody. Is anybody there? Is anybody on the phone?
Huh.
This is not the time to be quiet. No, there's nobody there. Did the phone get disconnected somehow?
When we were off the air... when we lost you guys before, Rob and I were laughing because, you know, we know that there's a stand-in person for Reggie tonight, right, at the station?
Uh-huh.
And how that person probably was running around with their hair on fire thinking something they did something wrong that caused everybody to be off the air. But it wound up being a different root cause altogether. But that new tech, whoever was there tonight, probably really had their hands full.
Well, the people in the chat are complaining because we can curse, but they can't.
I'm sure they are cursing. I'm sure a lot of people are cursing, but that's just... okay. The problem now is we can't find the phone line. It's not showing up where it's supposed to show up. It showed up before because we tested it. We always do. It's like someone very sophisticated is messing with us. I'm kind of fascinated by the whole thing.
It's a great disturbance in the force.
No, but Kyle, did you turn the ringer off or not?
No, it's on full blast.
Okay, so the fact that I heard it far away means I heard an extension down in a different office. And that means somehow our phone line got disconnected in this office. So we have to figure out where that happened. It was connected just a moment ago because I heard it ringing here. But something got disconnected. And we're going to track that down. So in the meantime, I came prepared with two stories, but I'm done now. Someone else tell a story while we try and figure this out.
There was another story that caught my eye, how the story is on the register. Magnificent irony is Meta staff unhappy about running surveillance software on work PCs. Apparently Meta is looking to train their AI by installing monitoring software on their own employees' computers. And not everyone's happy with that. Business Insider has a copy of the memo that went out announcing this to the staff, saying all Meta employees can help our models get better by simply doing their daily work. Starting today, we're rolling out a tool for U.S.-based full-time employees and contingent workers that captures computer inputs like mouse movements, click locations, and keystrokes, as well as screen content for context. Scope is limited to a pre-approved list of work-related applications and URLs like Gmail, GChat, MetaMate, and VS Code. U.S.-based employees will see a pop-up with instructions to enable the tool called Model Capability Initiative, or MCI. That initialism has been used elsewhere in the past.
But that is hilarious.
Yeah, so to learn more about the tool works, including privacy safeguards, check out the wiki and facts. But the supreme irony of people who work for one of the most powerful panopticons on the planet now not liking when the bosses are looking at them instead of their users is kind of delicious. But at the same time, you can't really expect any privacy on a work computer, and everyone should know that.
No, you definitely can't. But I would guess the other question is, does this mean, like, what is the end goal here? What are they attempting to... Okay, so they're trying to farm it on AI that people aren't opting into, so they're opting in their entire workforce. Is my understanding that correctly?
That seems to be the case. There's no option to opt out of this on your work-provided laptop, says Meta CTO Andrew Bosworth. And yes, they are training their own AI with their workers, not only what they're doing on their computers, but how they're jiggling the mouse and such like. And apparently, the Facebook employees are not, in fact, clicking like on that. All right, I'm gonna put a question out to the chat because I'm sure
we have a few more guests here now too.
We do,
we're fixing the phone lines.
I'm gonna ask who in the chat knows what. Hello there. Would our mystery guest care to introduce herself?
I'm the one who tolerates Alex. And I'm married to him.
That's my wife.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, you can answer this if you know, too. But there was a telephone company called MCI back in the past. And who in the chat, without doing a web search, knows what MCI stood for? The initial MCI.
Oh, I can tell you. You want me to say it?
Well, you hold off because I want to give this time for the delay and everything and give the chat a chance.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine. Yep.
And if someone knows this, Alex, you know this. Gilly, you probably know this because you were looking over my shoulder when I brought it up here.
I'm sure somebody in the chat knows it.
I'm sure someone in the chat must know this.
Well, wasn't it Microwave Communications Incorporated?
Yes, it is. And
you
just need
to hold off saying anything.
But, did you tell me to hold off? I'm sorry.
We did tell you to hold off. But fortunately, someone in the chat picked it up before you said it. Before they heard you say it.
I know who that was.
I think you do know who that was. That was Rebel.
You do, but I would like to point out that someone said MCI stands for MCI's current initials.
Good one, Beans. Okay, I love a recursive acronym like GNU's not Linux, or GNU's not Unix, rather. But yes, Microwave Communications Incorporated, which was the original name of the company,
is just for hot calls.
Yeah. See what you did there.
Yeah.
Okay, we're still trying to figure this out here. There's something messed up with our phones where we pick it up and then it disconnects. And we're trying really hard here. I heard you mention Rebel. Rebel was calling.
Of course he was.
Did he somehow reach you?
No, he's in the chat.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm going to try. Is anybody on the phone line? No, there's nobody on the phone line. It's very weird what's happening, because the phone rings in here, we pick it up, then it's ringing somewhere else. It's kind of bizarre. Well, keep giving out the phone number, 802-321-4225. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But you guys keep doing what you're doing.
We did get a question.
Rob
in Connecticut asks, ADT security, do we know what that one stands for?
ADT. I confess I do not.
Alpha Delta Tango.
I had a family member who worked for them, too. And I should probably know this.
No idea. What does MVP stand for? It's probably a couple of last names or something.
Okay, we just looked it up, and it is actually interesting.
So, yeah, they started as a telegraph delivery system, and in 1874, I'm just reading from Wikipedia now, in 1874, 57 district telegraph delivery companies affiliated and became American District Telegraph.
Oh. Wow.
And then, you know, telegraphy began waning mm-hmm. in popularity, they pivoted, so to speak.
Thank you, Tim in Connecticut, for that one. That stumped us.
Stump the panel.
Well, it is a weird night what's happening with these telephone lines. So this is very.
I think if we can't get this up and running soon, we may have to call it a night early and have an overtime in which we didn't talk to anyone except each other.
It's hardly an early one. We've been futzing around here for almost an hour, and Fort Kyle.
Through no fault of our listeners.
I don't think this is going to work out. I'm sorry. We have some kind of issue with the phone interface.
Try now.
Okay. We got a busy signal. That's a start. As you can see, the phone line is there. It's just a question of keeping it there.
Somebody in the chat says the phone number is not working. It's ringing, but we're not answering.
Right, but we also know that...
We're not answering because we can't get the phone line in this office. That's what we're trying to do.
But also, if the phone rings and rings and rings, it is not... That may mean that somebody's also already on the line. We're not avoiding you.
Now it's not working again.
Okay. Time does fly when we're having fun with technology. Isn't that the truth?
Well, you know what this is?
We might have somebody on the phone. Good evening.
No.
Is anybody on the phone?
Yes, I can hear you.
Rebel, I cannot tell you how nice it is to hear your voice, because that means the phone line is working. But it might not be working for long. We're not sure what's going to cause it to go out. What's on your mind? What's going on?
Maybe you should get a regular analog phone line, you know, something dependable.
Well, maybe you could help us find one, a company that gives those things out. It would be nice.
Doesn't Verizon still do analog phone lines?
Pretty shocking, huh? No, they don't.
I mean, I don't know. But anyway, let's see. I've been looking at a phone number in the chat. The phone number is area code 630-400-0633. Now, this number called me, and it's one of those telemarketers, but I don't know if it's one of those scam telemarketers or what. It's an AI telemarketer where they recognize your voice. So hold on, I'm going to try. All right, but basically what happens is they call your cell phone, and if you don't call back from the number that they called you at, this is what it says.
And now there'll be an awkward silence.
No. Please call back from the number we've called you. We do not recognize your number.
That's so annoying. Please call back from the number we've called you.
Please call back from the number we've called you from.
For fuck's sake. Speak English, for God's sake.
I didn't realize. Yeah, the number we've called you. But let's try that again. Well, let's see what happens when...
Bad grammar just gets me irate. It really does.
Well, wouldn't it be the number from which you call?
Okay, if you want to be a dick about it, yeah, you can say it that way, too. Absolutely. Just like if you knock on the door and say, it is I, you can do that. But no one's going to answer the door.
That's correct.
We do not recognize your number.
I don't recognize your authority. Anything else?
Please call back from the number we called you.
And the number we've called you. That's interesting. I never even noticed that.
Yeah, that means something else entirely.
Right. But listen to what happens when you call the actual number from the number that they called.
Yeah, call it from the number that they call you from.
Hold on.
Yeah, that they called you at.
Are we going to get another phone?
The number we called you is like... The number we call
number
you is like you are number six.
Can anyone call that number? Area code 630-400.
We're not going to call the number that you give out. We know it's a trap.
No, hold on, and I'm going to call it. Hold on.
Nice knowing you, Rebel. This is the awkward silence I was talking about. Can you crinkle those pickle balls a little louder, Kyle?
What do you mean?
Emmanuel, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Wait, what's going on?
They hung up. Wait a minute.
Has anyone ever hung up on you before, Rebel?
No, because it's an artificial and AI thing. If you don't say hello or say something, it just hangs up. So when I think when I put three-way on, it just...
I think they got that from me. That's what I do.
Let's try this again. Let's try this again. Hold on.
Aren't you glad the phone's working again, Kyle?
I swear, this show has been a technical nightmare, but I'm having fun.
Those are the best ones. Those are the ones people they want to collect.
Hanging out with friends, eating some snacks.
Well, you have the snacks. I'm
rebuilding things. I don't know why this is broke. It seems like it's happy now.
It doesn't work. Right. But anyway, it's one of those scams where whatever. Like,
what's the scam? I don't get what the scam is.
As soon as they say, hi, this is whatever. I'm calling from the Policeman Benevolent Association. We're doing our annual fundraising drive. We're looking for your support. You know, like WBA Usher or something like that.
Yeah, we should have something like that. That's, yeah. Thanks for the suggestion. Anything else?
Okay, the phone number is area code 630-400-0633.
You gave it out before. Why are you giving out the number again?
Well, I mean, in case anybody in the chat may want to call in.
Why? No. Would anyone want to put themselves through that?
Can't you just type it in the chat?
They things from different phone numbers.
Yeah, but they're going to get the message that you just played us that is grammatically wrong, and they're going to get frustrated.
No, that's true, but maybe they won't. I don't know, because sometimes, I mean, it's like if you don't call, like, sometimes they could block your numbers selectively. Like, if you call them, like, more than a few times, they'll just play a recording. We're sorry, your call cannot be completed or something. They'll block your number.
By the way, who knows where that area code is geographically assigned to?
Arizona.
Is that true? Wait, you said 630? I think 620 is Arizona. 630, isn't that Chicago?
Wait, 630?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Pretty sure it's Chicago.
It is.
Yeah.
Don't mess with me, Rebel. I know my area codes.
let's see, what else? So they could selectively block your... Like, when I've mentioned this before. I've been listening to all the old Off the Hooks, and sometimes you'll get phone numbers out or you'll call different things.
I was going to ask what you did in your spare time. Now I know you listen to old episodes of the show that you call incessantly.
And when I call those numbers that you used to call from some of the phone numbers from different companies...
Mm-hmm.
All of them go to basically the same thing, like, welcome to America's hottest talk line or whatever, or, you know, we have a special offer for you or whatever. It's like, you know, that's why we're running out of phone numbers.
Well, you know, old phone numbers tend not to work anymore unless you're one of the lucky few who have the same phone number for a long, long time. And businesses, especially like telephone companies, the little telephone companies that have not existed for ages, they're not going to still have those old phone numbers probably hooked to anything. And so the old phone numbers, like when you let a web domain expire, will just get picked up by whatever junky, spammy company is wrangling up these things and collecting them and using them to just pull in random calls from people looking for something else.
Yeah, but why is that even allowed? Why should a company be allowed to, like, have multiple phone numbers for the same thing? Just like, used to have, like, multiple 800 numbers for one
company. I think that sounds like a question for next week, Rebel. Well, we should open up the phone lines, I think, and, you know...
Yeah, we got to at least take a couple of more calls.
I think you're being dismissed, Rebel.
Okay, Alex.
All right.
You got it, Rebel.
That sounded a little ominous the way you said that, but okay, I'm sure he'll be following up. Thank you for that call. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. Is everything still connected? Is the chat still connected? Because I'm looking at a window here. It says the chat was disconnected. and there's no indication how to connect it again.
You might have to just refresh your YouTube page there, because chat's still going, everything's still up and running for us.
Well, this is a YouTube page that starts the stream, so if I refresh that, it might refresh the stream.
I mean, people have been chatting.
All right, well, I don't read chat anyway, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, that's why you got the chat being monitored over here by your colleague.
Well, we got a phone call? I didn't hear the phone ring. Wow. Okay, we have another phone call.
I disconnected the phone in here.
Oh, the phone's disconnected in here, but the phone line goes to the...
And caller. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm here.
Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm just calling to say this has been one of the most interesting shows that I have heard in the time of me listening to 2600 Off the Hook or any of these.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like a Freaky Friday thing going on.
Yeah, it's...
15th episode.
Nobody can predict when it will happen. It just does every now and then.
No, but I was calling to say, you know, how you were talking about the whole meta and the AI watching everyone and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the whole thing with that, you know, it is invasive and it's creepy, but the thing that's been going on more, it's got me a little bit weirded out, is the smart glass, you know, because there's different things I've seen online now where you can actually obfuscate the record on those, and mm-hmm. there are places that you just should not be wearing those glasses, and it's one of those things that I'm like, wow, privacy much?
Absolutely.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, I could not think of, you know, someone wearing those, and I'm like, you know, I'm sitting somewhere, like the dentist's office or something, and those glasses have no business in an environment like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, unfortunately, with the whole wearables and Internet of Things, it's only just going to get worse. It's just,
yeah, the same,
wow, because I saw someone the other day with them, and I was like, oh, my gosh, it's such a no-no.
Well, that's the thing. You saw somebody with them because they look incredibly nerdy, these glasses. But one day they're going to make them so they don't look like that. They look like regular glasses, or they'll make contact lenses or whatever, and you won't know who has cameras in their faces.
My thing is the legality and the consent and where you're bringing those glasses. You know, I look at it, you know, you have someone that might be a museum or something, and they have, you know, somebody's art in there, and it's copyrighted, and we don't know necessarily, you know, the legalities of how long they're going to hold that particular from that AI or not. And it's really just Pandora's box on legal situations with, you know, intellectual property and stuff.
Yeah, or, you know, a potential burglar who gets legitimate access to your house for some reason and walks through every single room, knows where everything is, you know, and records all that for future endeavors.
Yeah. Now, like I said, I mean, I have nothing wrong with technology. I love it. Obviously, you listen to y'all's show, but there is a limit where, come on, guys, this is just a little too freaky for even me.
Yes, we're skeptics on the use of technology in many cases. There's good and bad every time.
All right, I just wanted to say I love the show despite all the craziness, and to get y'all's input on the whole smart glass thing and its appropriate and inappropriateness. My question is, if Alex is still around, does he know of anything about that when it comes to intellectual property and the recording of those things?
Yeah, Alex, what gives?
I know some things about that, but a lot of it is going to be dependent upon the contracts that you sign, these contracts of adhesion for all these different services, such that you give them the right to record certain things, and they have data retention practices. They might mine this data. They might extract metadata from it. They might anonymize it. They might train AIs with it. There's a number of things that can be done with that data that are completely out of our control once they start recording. So, yeah, it's I think we're all right to be concerned about that.
I see Rob's hand going up. Rob?
Yeah, and there's also the matter of if you're out in public and you can you expect privacy when you're walking past, like in this city, you go outside and you're walking past countless security cameras and things like that and being recorded on computers you'll never control. But at the same time, if you're in someone's house or you're in your workplace or you're in, you know,
the gym locker room.
Yeah, the gym locker room. Exactly.
Exactly.
Stuff like that.
You're like, oh, no, TMI.
Mm-hmm. But and when it comes to the point, because these glasses do look like recording devices now, although it is kind of easy to hide that aspect. They're supposed to have a light that goes on when they're recording, but you can disable the light. But these things are only going to look more and more like regular ass glasses, and if it's it's going to get to the point where you can't tell if you're being recorded, no matter where you go.
Well, is there some kind of technological way that you can detect something is recording in someone's glasses as you pass by them?
What does that have?
See, that's what I'd like to know, just because of consent.
Yeah, there's not a way you can tell what something is doing, but there is an app out there for Android called Nearby Glasses, and what it does is it tries to scan for the Bluetooth signature known to be broadcast by these glasses, and can tell you sort of with a little bit of dependability if someone around you is using them. But even when that happens, you don't know who it is that's setting it off. You don't know if it's some kind of false positive. All you can do is try and be a little more careful about what you do or say, because it's possible you're being recorded.
Is Bluetooth essential for using these glasses, though?
I think they Bluetooth to your phone.
Okay.
Yeah, not just to the phone, but, you know, like if you don't have your phone with you, that's another question.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
if you look at an Apple Watch, pending certain models, you don't need that.
Right,
but there are,
right.
You know, with those glasses, I think you're right. I think it actually must have the phone, and it must have a Meta account somewhere attached to it, or whoever makes that particular glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the interesting question becomes, say you've got this detector app on your phone, and it pops up, okay, someone around you is using these glasses. What do you do with that information? Do you start, like, you know, confronting people, or do you just, like, remove yourself from the situation, or do you get your ass kicked on the subway?
A bag to put over your head.
Yeah.
Like I said, Pandora's box, because of privacy, and that's one thing I treasure the most is privacy, because it's like, man, there's a time part of my life that's very private, and there's also a part that I like to share, you know, but it's the boundaries and how bad it's getting blurred. But, guys, I don't want to take too much of your phone time away, but again, wanted to say enjoy the show despite all the technical difficulties, and thanks for the input also from Alex on his you know, standpoint on the legalities of those glasses recording with or without consent, because that's really good points.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call.
Well, one question before you go,
Gila. Actually, Alex has a question for you. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Did we ask from where you're calling? I don't think we did.
I'm actually in Orlando, Florida.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
Yes.
All right. You have a great night.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Cool. And thank you, Kyle, for making the phones work. We're getting good phone calls.
Well, it's weird. The hybrid has, like, a line now. I don't understand it. I'm learning everything.
Okay.
I think everything just went haywire, but it seems to be working somewhat normally. I really, that last caller was so astute in some of those observations.
Yes.
And there's ways of detecting cameras that are around, but you shouldn't have to be doing counter surveillance just to be comfortable in the environment that you're in. And I do see this issue as kind of difficult, but also a paradox. I'll say difficult because, you know, in public places, there's been a long-standing right to photograph. And as a photographer myself, and as there are so many cameras around us all the time, including ones for municipal surveillance and the like, it's kind of unavoidable. And in that space, I think that legal right should be allowed, whether the camera is itself in something that you're wearing, or a camera that you are holding in a more traditional sense, or built into your phone, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that makes it especially difficult because in that these cameras are ever more mobile, they can go from indoors to outdoors, from public and private spaces and back again. So it gets kind of hard to police that. I think it's really about etiquette and behaviors and social norms that we establish. The other thing I think it's ironic is that a lot of the people that are embracing this kind of filming and recording, in my opinion, might be in the camps of people that get kind of, let's say, prickly and upset about journalists and photographers coming in where they're able to photograph legally. And I kind of chuckle to myself in thinking about people who will, on one hand, you know, cling to that right they have to photograph if it's their camera on their face. But if someone's doing it professionally, trying to cover some event, they get, you know, chased out of town.
Right, right. It's like, you know, the same thing when you know, cops want to film you, but if you film a cop, that's a problem.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, be careful when you start pounding your chest about that right and that freedom, because when there's a story about the perverse ways you were using these and the big cameras come and film you, they have that same right.
We have another phone call. Good evening. You're on overtime. Go ahead. Hello? Is anyone there? You have a call, Kyle? I think we do. This thing says
it's
we have a call.
Connected.
Okay. Well, there's nobody speaking.
I think they forgot about us.
Maybe.
Do you want us to go away?
Well, I want to give them one more chance. If anyone is on the phone connected to us, we're probably talking
anything
to you.
Appear there?
Yeah, I see caller ID there.
Should we let them go?
And that hiss is...
Should we cut them loose?
The channel. I think we have to. And unfortunately, if you hear us saying this, we have no choice. Go ahead. And that number is gone. 802-321-4225 is our number.
Oh, there's another call.
Okay. It's the same number. Go ahead and pick up the phone. And good evening. You're on overtime. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on something Rebel was talking about earlier.
Okay. That's never happened before, but go ahead.
Anyway, I'm calling from Florida also. This may be a record for you tonight.
Wow.
I heard a lady earlier.
Two Florida calls.
All right.
Yeah, record for you. But what Rebel was talking about as far as the telephone numbers, where they want you to call from, the number they called you from, well, the number you called from, the reason for that, these are scammers. And when they call you, they want you to call from that same number they call because they want to make sure you're legit. You're not just fucking with them. Because right now, there's a lot of, like, what they call scam baiters on YouTube who randomly call these people and stuff like that. So these scammers, they like to keep control. They only want to speak to people that they have solicited. So when you call them, you got to call them from the telephone number they called you from. Well, they hang up.
I love how you use the word legitimate. You have to be a legitimate scam victim to talk to them.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. And as far as the language, that voicemail that said something to the effect of, you have to call us back from the number we called you from, and it sounded kind of awkward to you. The reason it sounds awkward is because they normally, I mean, these are people, English is not their first language, so they're saying these things, and they have an AI translator uh-huh. say those things. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the reason it sounds a little weird, you know, when
right.
that woman's there,
uh-huh.
you know. But yeah, I just wanted to say that. And by the way, if you call those numbers, you got to be careful, because when Rebel was suggesting, oh, you should go ahead and call that number, well, when you call these numbers, a lot of times they actually add your telephone number to their database. So if you're going to call them, you got to call them from not your real phone number, some throwaway telephone number, because they might just add your number to the database, and then you start getting calls.
And then you can call them back. You can call them back because you are calling from the number they called you from.
Then you can call them back, yeah. Then you can call them back.
Okay, well, thanks for all that enlightenment. I know a lot more now than I did before.
That's what I wanted to say. Thanks. I'm enjoying the show. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Take care.
How beautiful is the idea that the telephone robocall scam companies are like, you know what would make our business easier? If we could get rid of the unsolicited phone calls we're getting.
Yes. Wow. That is incredible. All right. We're only taking calls from Florida tonight, apparently. So 802-321-4225.
Sunshine State only.
Yes. Yes, indeed. No.
So it's a sunshine day.
We're just kidding. You can call from anywhere. We'll accept your call.
I'll go for a walk outside.
802-321-4225. As I fade this channel down. 802-321-4225. Laughing's fine. Singing is not.
Is it what I was singing or that I was singing?
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you.
We have fun.
Well, we got to wait a couple of minutes, though, for another phone call. And we can't really hear the phone ringing, so.
I've made it fainter because I wanted to reduce the amount of things that were connected to that line since we rebooted everything.
We're
going
to do a lot of troubleshooting later.
Oh, wow, that line thing. Okay, here's a call.
See, I don't hear it ringing, but you say it's ringing. Okay.
I hear it ringing in the other room. And, we have a caller now.
Yeah. Okay, great. And good evening. You're on overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, guy. This is the guy from Queens with the dog. How are you, guys?
The guy from Queens with the dog. Well, that certainly narrows it down, doesn't it?
Yeah, my name is Howard.
We know you. Yeah.
I'm the guy with that beautiful lab.
How is your dog?
Oh, she's doing great.
Yeah? That's good.
Yeah, I may be coming to that thing that you're having at the New York.
The Hope Conference in Manhattan. Yes, we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, I may have a different dog. I don't know. She's going to get retired. But here's what I'm calling about. You were talking about the glasses.
Yes.
You know, what are you going to say to someone who's blind and using a pair of glasses to have their environment explained to them? How are you going to know what people are using them for?
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be, you know, every technology can be abused and used mm-hmm. depending on what you do, but it can be used for good or it can be used for bad.
Right, right.
And well, government is now trying to make so many regulations, it's just crazy.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that right there. What's that computer saying?
Oh, you heard the computer in the background?
Yeah, what is that?
Hmm? That was my radio listening to a local repeater.
Oh, wow.
You heard my repeater going off in the background. It just said WDKHWW. Everybody knows who I am. They just have to look up in the FCC database.
Yes. Howard is a ham radio operator. Is that a correct thing to say?
Yes, I'm a ham radio operator.
All right.
In a ham. By the way, I was listening to your whole conversation a couple of weeks back when you were talking about telephones and why the phone company went from letting your phone ring all the time, and now it only stops ringing after, like, say, 10 or 15 rings.
Right.
In the old, because if you had a black box and you were basically able to
mm-hmm.
draw the line down, short the line, then open it up and just have a capacitor in series.
Right, no supervision.
You'd be able to have a free phone call.
Yep, that could last for days.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, then after a while they got smart. And I tell you what, back in the 70s, I used to have a radio tied to a phone line, and I had a relay, normally closed open relay, use a capacitor in series with the relay. You short the line for a split second, the relay opens, and then I would play a radio down the phone line to people. But I got caught after a while for doing that because it was bleed over.
Oh, wow.
Someone sitting at a desk at a central office said, why is there audio on this phone line? No one's supposed to be there.
Yeah, when they get wise down at the central office, that's when you got to worry.
Yeah, when they have a guy sitting at a desk there going through all the lines and saying, why do I have a radio playing here on a kind of ringing tip and just...
So, did they call you? Did they show up? What did they do?
They came by and they told me, cut it out and we're going to send you the pokey.
They actually came by?
Well, the guy knew, believe it or not, the guy knew me. He was another ham.
Yeah, that's great.
He worked for Tom Duffy. Remember Tom Duffy?
Why does that sound familiar? Who is that?
Tom Duffy was the security guy for New York Tel.
That's right. Oh, my God. That's stored way back in my brain.
That's Tom Duffy. And by the way, are you guys going to see Bubbles?
You mean the film? Do you have the info on when that's showing?
I think that's on May 2nd. It's supposed to be at that Moving Image Museum in Whitestone. Or
Astoria.
Astoria.
I think Rob or Gil are looking it up. Maybe they're both looking it up. And we'll have the mm-hmm. info for everybody in a second. But, yeah, thanks for reminding us. We're talking about the Joy Bubbles film that's coming out about the blind phone freak from, where was he from, Minnesota?
Yeah, I spoke to him a couple of times. He was a pretty interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was a kid. He was a kid in a man's body. He was a pretty smart guy.
Joy Bubbles will be screening at the Museum of the Moving Image as part of the Real Abilities Film Festival May 2nd at 2 p.m. It is scheduled to be in one of their smaller screening rooms. So if you want to get tickets, hop on that quickly. MovingImage.org is the website for the museum.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Yes, if you you want their phone number, I think, is 718-777-6800.
That's a good phone number. That's a really
good phone number.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, you had something to say. What?
Oh, well, with this, you have to wait a second. So open it, wait a second.
You tell me how to open a can?
And then pour it. Yeah, just wait a second.
You could have written that down.
No, I was going to send you a note, but I figured this would be
fast. I'm opening it now. Oh, my God. Did you shake it before you...
No, that's... It's releasing, yeah.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that to happen. All right.
Okay, that was the reason why the phone company, back around 73, they started timing out the rings, because they realized that people were doing it, or they would have, you would call your friend from the phone, and then you'd talk for an hour, and after you got done, you got your money back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a 45-degree angle when you pour.
You told us to keep talking about the can, Kyle. I'm sorry, we're opening cans of Guinness, and you can do that on YouTube. You can't do that on the radio. Well, if you're running the radio, you can't do it. You can do it as a guest.
Am I still talking to you guys?
Yeah, you are, but we're pouring.
No, I know you guys are having some fun.
We're recovering. It's been a very... These Irish boys are... No, we're having some trouble
it's
here.
It's been a rough night.
Technical difficulties. I'm sorry.
We've earned this, so yeah, I'm not ashamed.
So listen, are you guys going to come? You guys going to go see the film?
What was the date again?
May 2nd.
May 2nd.
And what day of the week is that?
Saturday.
And what time of the day of the week?
2 p.m.
Okay, that's not too early. Maybe. Do you have to buy tickets in advance? Can you just show up?
I would think you might see a bunch of blind people there.
Why would blind people go to a movie? I mean,
it's actually an accessible showing. There will be
open captions, open audio.
Okay.
Yeah, open audio descriptions.
Some of these glasses now, Rock is supposed to be coming out with a pair of glasses that will help the blind. You'll be able to sit in a movie and it will give you descriptions.
Oh, that's awesome. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, the question is this. What's going to be the legality when they say, well, you can't use those glasses in a theater because we have copyright law? And you say, well, there's an ADA issue. That would be a question for Alex.
It would be. And also an opportunity for any blind copyright violators that wish to make money distributing films.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. What kind of quality are you going to get? You're moving your head around. You're looking at a screen. Who's going to want to watch that? I mean, it's so stupid.
Okay, blind people who are into copyright violations, who have a steady head, and have decent equipment that will record it in, video, audio, that kind of thing. Look, we'll get there. We'll get there. Alex, do you have something to add?
Yeah, I don't know what the answer to that would be, whether the ADA would trump copyright, but I think it probably would, since it's an accessibility issue, I would imagine. Yeah, my wife here is also nodding her head. She thinks that as well. She's also a lawyer.
Yeah,
but
I will tell you this much. What's going to be interesting, just talking about, let's say you're in an airport, you're a blind person, you're supposed to meet your sister or somebody, and it will tell you if your sister's in the crowd, and it will say, that's the person you're looking for.
Yeah, now, I know, it is crazy. But, you know, to your point, though, about recording, what I could see happening is... Since the stream of the video from the device from which you're recording, namely the glasses, is going to go through your phone, right? And your phone is going to go and connect into these various filters that are going to look for hallmarks or fingerprints of copyrighted material. And my guess is that there's probably going to be some kind of real-time alert or detection system for the recording and potential streaming of copyrighted material, just like there is on YouTube when you're playing background music that could be copyrighted. There'll be some kind of real-time solution for this.
Go ahead,
make it easier for William.
Alex, here's the question. I'm a blind person. I want that thing to describe to me what that recorded material is. Let's say it's a book. You know, there was a big problem with Kindle. You know, those readers, where they gave a hard time, where they would not allow certain... authors would not allow you to take their printed material and turn it into voice. There was a whole issue. And I think Congress passed a law about that, that for accessibility you have a right, because the Library of Congress can record any book that they want to, as long as it's being used for people with disabilities.
Rob, you have something? Go ahead.
Yeah. I used to do work with an accessible library, and there is something called the Chaffee Amendment, which carves out an exception in copyright law for the purpose of translating something to an accessible format, like audio described content. So you can take a book and make an audiobook of it, and make that accessible for someone who has who is blind or has other reading disabilities. And I'm wondering if that would be applicable to the idea of having an automatic audio description generated by something like this. I think there's definitely potential for that to be a law in the books that would protect somebody in a case about this. But, you know, and I'm not the lawyer here, but Alex, I'm thinking that, you know, a definitive answer wouldn't be available until there's a case that decides it one way or the other.
Yeah, that's most likely, because it does seem like this lives very much within that gray area of the law that would require some kind of judicial decision. And you can't have a judicial decision without having a case. You can't have a case without having a case or controversy. So.
But by the way, the one who said he worked at an accessibility library, was that on 20 West 40th Street or 40 West 20th Street at the library for Andrew Haskell?
It was not the high school library. I knew people who worked there, but if this was a different library, a different nonprofit. But, you know, it's the same idea. And this was a library full of, as the Andrew Haskell Library is, which is located at the New York Public Library main branch, it's a library of copies of books done in recorded formats, audio formats, as well as Braille, large print, things like that. And the library itself is able to produce those copies without having to get permission of the copyright owner for the purposes of having an accessible copy for somebody with that accessibility need.
Yeah, by the way, when you sign up to use the website, you also have to sign something that you understand you cannot give this to anybody else. It's only to be used for your personal use or for a person that's blind. I mean, you can only share it. Like if you're getting material for a school or you're doing something, it can only be used for people who have a disability. So you agree
right
to that, actually. Because actually, I can download any book from the library. Now, what they're doing is I can download it to my phone instead of actually physically going there and getting a cartridge.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, so you basically, yeah. But that's going to be very, very interesting. Because, look, I have applications where I can take AI and I can ask AI to describe to me my surroundings. And I'll say, well, there's a chair in front of you. Or I could say to it, what color shirt, or has any stains on it? It'll actually tell me that. Or I could say, tell me, as I'm walking, let me know when I hit a Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are all really useful things, and I hope to see more people get access to them.
Oh, yeah. The only problem is that it's a buy. If you have the money, right now you can get it. If you don't have the money, then those people out. It's a sad thing because there's a divide between the haves and have-nots.
No, it has to be a priority. Like, for instance, in Canada, do you know every TV station has a described video version where basically you're watching a program and it says Mary walks over and picks up the book off the shelf and then you hear her talk. So you can watch a TV program and have a narrator describe what's actually going on. Do we have anything like that in this country? Like that's available to any cable subscriber?
Oh, yeah, that's what they call it, SAP, SAP, I think it's called.
Yeah, how does that work?
It used to be in the analog days, it would be a subcarrier on the FM carrier. You would have, like you have with the special, you know, when you had the pilot tone, 19 kilohertz, you had some other channels or some other carriers for reading services.
Right, right. Two
stations like WNYE would broadcast, I think, at 48 kilohertz, and then you had a receiver that would pick it up, and then you can listen to the news read to you and stuff like that.
Okay, that's just the news. I'm talking about actual, like, network TV programming in described video, which, you know, is very common in Canada, but not so much here. And I think it really would be useful to many people.
I think they're supposed to do it, but a lot of the stations are not following the FCC requirements because under the communications FCC, they require you to do it. But I don't think a lot of the radio stations even bother. They feel like, oh, if we get sued, we get sued. Or they feel there's not enough population, you know?
Got to speak louder then. Got to, you know, make them know people are out there.
Yeah, but no, seriously, you know, there's a lot of interest. But, yeah, I was really, when you had talking about the phone stuff, I mean, I can tell you I did so much. That a couple of weeks ago when you were talking about the old crossbar one, the crossbar fives,
mm-hmm.
it's no longer interesting. Now everything is, well, you make a phone call, you don't even know what you're talking to. You don't hear any more carrier, you don't hear any noise.
I hear you.
The old days were more interesting.
Yeah, very much so. Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, Netflix, this back in 2015, and I believe I mentioned it on this program, Netflix put out a show about Daredevil, who's a superhero who's blind. And the show did not have the descriptive audio track when it first went out, and there was kind of an outcry because, you know, the blind community might enjoy a show about a superhero who's blind. So they added it, and you can still get it if you watch the Daredevil show on Netflix. And I don't know how widespread it is on other shows, but there is the ability for streamers to have the audio description track on their programming. I think unlike things like closed captions for those with hearing impairments, which are very common, so much TV is subtitled now, and you can turn it on or off. I don't think audio description tracks are anywhere near as widespread or available.
You know, in the UK, they not only have closed caption, they have open caption, which is basically somebody standing in a corner of your screen doing sign language, which, you know, is really weird to see the first time you see it, but you get very used to it. And that happens with newscasts and other programs.
Well, the UK in some ways is pretty open to the blind. Pretty open to the blind. I think they allow you, they let seeing eye darkness almost everywhere. People are pretty cool about it. In the U.S., mm-hmm. you have it. Now, I don't want to get into politics too much, but in New York now you're starting to have issues since our mayor came in, the mayor, because some people are saying, well, my resolution doesn't allow me to have a dog in a taxi.
Uh-huh. Okay, I don't know anything about that.
No, there's accessibility rights. Well, let's say you're getting into a Uber and a Lyft. Some drivers who have that, come from that area and have that tendency to believe in Sharia law, they think it's against their religion to have an animal in their car.
Okay, I've never heard this issue brought up before, but I'll look for news stories about it or any other descriptions.
You'll see how many people have been denied right because they have a service animal. It's a big, big problem. Even the Justice Department went after Lyft and Uber, started suing them left and right.
Well, even the Justice Department is a phrase that doesn't mean that much anymore, but it could be an interesting subject. Alex, looks like you have something to contribute.
Well, I can attest that I've been passed over numerous times by Ubers who the drivers just did not want to have a dog in the car.
Okay, but I don't know if you can blame that on the mayor. That just seems a little like a stretch.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because
I didn't blame it on the mayor. I'm just saying it as a fact.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, the people have prejudices against dogs. I'm aware of that. I just don't know if Mondani is the one responsible for an uptick in that.
No, what I'm saying is this. Due to his religion, the drivers are now getting more pushy. Say, I have a right to tell you not, I don't want my service, I don't want your dog in my car. A lot of times people will say it's against their religion, which they can't force that. They have to pick anybody up. It's a conveyance, a public conveyance. So it's public transportation. And they can't say, well, you can't come into the car because you have a service animal.
Look, if they're violating the terms, you can report them. There are numbers, you know. Obviously, that's not something that, you know, should be tolerated if that's the case.
But you got to understand, if the city is not gung-ho behind it because someone is telling them to back off, then you're not going to just...
Right, that's the part. That's the part I would need more information on to believe.
Google it, you'll see it.
Okay, that's really not the word. All right, I'll Google it, but that's not the definitive word.
No, I'm just telling you a lot of little issues.
Right.
See, but I'll tell you what, I love that conversation. You guys should have more conversations about the old telephone history. Are you going to have any lectures on that at the conference?
Oh, my God. We're going to have a ton. We really are. It's going to be pretty amazing. You're talking about Hope Conference, August 14th through 16th at the New Yorker Hotel. And, it's going to be fun.
Can I ask you how much the tickets are?
On YouTube we can say it's $250 for the weekend.
You can't say it on
non-commercial radio. You can't give out prices for events or items or things like that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep, it's true.
But the FCC, that's kind of ridiculous. You're only giving information at stuff like...
Well, it can be considered promotion. You don't want to, seem like you're selling something or encouraging people to buy something. So I understand it, and it's always been the case.
You guys have any idea between that and the room what it would cost for 3 days, roughly?
Sorry, say again?
The rooms.
Oh, rooms?
Without food, for the 3 days, so you'd be there Friday night, Saturday night. Maybe you stay Sunday night or sleep or leave Sunday night.
Right.
Do you have any idea how much the package is between the ticket and a room?
They're not the same package. Like, you're going to the hotel for the rooms. I think I saw $199 as the rate for a room in Midtown Manhattan. That's pretty cheap. So I'm not sure if that's still the rate, but it's one of the rates that was passed around, and then ticket price.
Under $1,000, you can. About $1,000 will cover a 3-day weekend.
It should, yeah. I can see that.
That's not too bad.
No, it's not.
Well, I wish you guys have good luck with that.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, we didn't think we had a chance of getting back to Manhattan, and it's kind of a miracle that we're pulling this off. So hopefully it works.
All right, I'll let you guys go, but I just wanted to bring that up with the glasses and about the old black boxes. That was a cool thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we're going to go down memory lane quite a bit and hopefully play some recordings and maybe emulate these things.
Hey, you got to have some recordings of 2600 and all those 700 and 900, you know?
Yep.
Okay, have a great evening.
All right,
guys.
You too. Take care.
Thanks, Howard.
Bye. All right, are we done, or do you want to try one more call?
I'm about ready to pull up stakes and roll up the scenery for another night. After this week, and last week we were on for 2 hours.
Sound kind of cranky there, Rob.
Is it building up? Is it cumulative? What's up? What's going on with you?
A little bit cumulative.
Too much time with us.
We need to check in with Rob here.
I thought you enjoyed our company. Well, okay, fine. We're getting sick of each other, and I'm sure our listeners are getting sick of us as well.
But this has been a fun episode, and thanks to everyone for bearing with us while we figured stuff out at the beginning here.
Yeah, you could say that again. I mean, really, thank you for bearing with us.
Well, without Kyle figuring out all these buttons and knobs and things.
Oh, you give me too much credit, but thank you. You're welcome.
Well, you literally did that, and I was sitting here doing nothing. And they're out there in different places, so they're not helping.
What were
Sorry,
you going to say?
Sorry, our arms are not long enough to help.
I know.
As a quick note, I was looking while the last caller was talking about it, and Tim in Connecticut asked, yes, there do appear to be more rooms available at the special Hope rate, which includes local, long distance, and international calling.
Didn't mention that. Yes, free phone calls to anywhere in the world from your hotel room. I didn't think that was a thing, but apparently it's a thing at the New Yorker Hotel. Now, I don't know if that applies to, like, things like Inmarsat and the super expensive phone call. I'm sure it doesn't apply to 900 numbers if they still exist. Do 900 numbers still exist? You remember those, right?
Why do you ask me?
I
call 900 numbers all the time.
But do they still exist? Do people still call sex lines? Is that a thing? $5 a minute, remember that? Does anybody remember that? Am I crazy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
no.
$5 for the first 2 minutes, 25 cents each additional minute, and...
Ask your parents' permission before
dialing.
There was
the 970 exchange locally, 976 with a dial-up service, 540 and 550. What happened to all these exchanges? I don't dare call them, but I'd like to know.
I found something from the FTC about complying with the 900 number rule. It's from 1992.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. 1992. It's not updated. Rebel, this is where you can help us. Rebel, why don't you call a bunch of 540 and 900 numbers and whatnot and get back to us on that?
I'm thinking of this. This is like a one-person musical of, like, being conflicted about calling old numbers. What does it all become? There's at least, like, two or three, like, angsty solos in there. But, yeah, it's a real, like, walk down memory lane because so many of those things have become, like, just passé or totally forgotten. People don't even really understand that they're still there. People that run them don't even know that they're still there in many cases.
You know what's cool is getting really old phone books from, say, the 1960s or 1970s and seeing if anyone in there still has the same phone number. You might find your grandparents in there. You know, it's really incredible. They had so much knowledge.
Are there phone books on auction sites?
You can buy phone books on eBay. You can buy them. Yeah.
Wait, how much is an old phone book?
It depends on what the person thinks they're worth. It could be a dollar or it could be $50.
Wait. What makes a price?
Hang on, a Manhattan phone book is worth more than an Iowa City phone.
Whoa,
book.
How do you rate them? Is this like
boys?
Condition?
Hi.
Yeah. Hi.
Hey, what's up?
This is riveting. It really is.
You sound cranky too.
I'm picking it up by association.
Are we done?
We don't know how to disconnect, all right?
You
made me say it. We don't know how to disconnect. We're stuck here. We're all stuck here, so we might as well make the best of it.
This is our life now.
That's right. That's the right attitude, Rob.
You're stuck with us.
I'll get the first watch. You pick up at midnight.
Until I finish my drink, I will not click this mouse.
And Alex, we haven't forgotten about you.
I'm just waiting here. I need a drink after this. But what's amazing to me is people seem to love this show with all of its faults and glitches and things more than the normal shows.
Then we have to have more faults and glitches.
Yeah.
The people have spoken.
You do. Yeah.
We're making pasta later. That's our plans.
That's right. Yeah.
We're going to be making like 2 a.m. pasta.
Like spicy pasta. That's
with like
best
a
one.
Hell of a lot of like chili flakes and garlic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That sounds
really good.
Yeah.
Some like lemon, some lemon zest.
Lemon zest.
And parsley.
Yeah, the parsley really makes a difference.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess...
It's been fun.
Yeah, it has been fun. It's been awesome. Hopefully we've added something to the library of Off the Hooks. And, yes, we're going to have the entire episode of this YouTube overtime available on 2600.com. Not on YouTube. So if you're listening to this on YouTube, you've missed something because there was that whole point where we weren't on YouTube. And yet we were still talking.
That was so real.
Won't this version also have the audio that was supposed to be on the radio?
Well, okay. That the radio show is a different file. And there'll be two files, I believe. Jens is probably busy working on that already. And we'll have what we did and what went out over the air. I'm not sure how different that is. And all it really is a section where somebody at the station realizes that we're no longer there, and you hear music fade up, and then music fades down, and we come back. And that's pretty much it. If that's the kind of thing you're into, then you'll want to hear that particular excerpt. And otherwise, just listen to the radio show as is intended to be.
Well, could there be a version of the file that has the missing audio? That's the question.
Yes, that's what I just said. The file that we are putting up is going to have...
It's
recorded locally.
What you might get from WBAI's archive would be the sort of authentic, I guess, what went out.
And we're going to have that excerpt. We will have that excerpt as well, as is our routine when we do this.
Okay. All right. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
We'll be back in action, and we'll have even more to say if you hack something in the intervening week. But until that time...
Yes, and our email address, oth@2600.com. That's 2600.com. We hope to hear from you. And please get your help tickets if you haven't already. Book those rooms while they're still available. Help.net has all the info. And we're looking for volunteers, too. So be sure to check out the volunteer section and help out in whatever way you can, because that's what makes it all possible.
But be specific.
Oh, and also...
And enthusiastic.
We're looking for more speakers. We have a bunch already. But if you have a talk you want to give... go to the speaker section of the website, and we have our early submissions that will be going until the end of April. We will be accepting talks after that, but the early submissions get priority. So if you have something that you wish to share, submit it by then, by the end of April.
Also, talking about the end of April, we are still giving a portion of our ticket sales to the EFF for the rest of the month.
10%.
10%.
Yeah.
So, and that's only happening until the end of April as well. So if you want your ticket price to count for a little something extra to defend digital rights, to get your ticket orders in this month.
That's right. And EFF will be at the conference giving various talks and things, as always. And it's going to be a blast. It's going to be fun. August 14th through 16th. All right. We're out of energy, out of time, out of patience. I'm sure everybody else is as well. So we'll see you next week.
Write to us at oth.at.
Try that again, Kyle.
Write to us at oth@2600.com.
You know, I gave a serious version of that.
2600.com for more details.
Yes. Good night, everyone.
Bye.